Hello, and welcome to a very special Contending at the Water Cooler podcast. I'm Megan McLaughlin, co-founder of thecontending.com, and I'm joined by no M's, but a very special guest to discuss the Emmy race for the Outstanding TV Movie. So, very special guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, Megan. No, I am in fact not an M, but my name is Josh Axelrod. I am a sometimes contending contributor. I like Megan, am part of the Pittsburgh Film Critics Association, and I am also the director of communications and media relations at the Lindsay Theater and Cultural Center, which is a nonprofit movie theater right outside Pittsburgh. So lots of movies.
Yes, I was going to say a lot. That's such a great bio too. You got so much going on. So, I
Sounds
love it.
impressive, right?
It is impressive. So we're going to dive into the TV movie race today, which Josh and I have been discussing a lot offline about this. Just the different movies, actually. I'm having technical difficulties, so I had to do my camera a little bit different. So I'm like, I don't need to be holding it. I was laughing about that. I'm like, I can just let it sit against my.
Yeah, you're steady.
So we're going to talk about the five nominees. We've seen them all, and kind of break down what they're about, what we liked about them, maybe what we didn't like about them. Let's just kick this off. I'll kick it off with the first one, I guess. Does that sound good?
It's your show, man. I'm here supporting you.
Okay. So the first one is Heads of State, directed by Ilya Naishuller. It stars Idris Elba, John Cena, Priyanka Chopra. It's about the U.S. president, played by John Cena, and the prime minister, Idris Elba, who are like, they have a rivalry, and they end up on the run together when Air Force One gets shot down. And then Priyanka plays Elba's ex-CIA agent girlfriend. Yes. What did you think of this one? You and I had a lot of discussions about this. I want to hear what you thought about it.
There's this weird subgenre of movies emerging that I just call Amazon Prime Video action comedies, because that's exactly what they are. There's at least one a month now. Their MO is they seem to just pair two relatively big stars, and they come up with a ludicrous premise, and they just are like, go forth and have fun. And I think this is a prime example of that, because you got John Cena and Idris Elba just doing action things and quipping. There is so much quipping. And they always have to shoehorn a woman in. Not to like say
No,
that Priyanka Chopra
I felt
doesn't
that
deserve to be
too.
there.
Right. I felt
But
that too.
yeah, it's like, okay, sure. The president of the United States has a hot ex-CIA agent. I mean, good for him, honestly. It's a ridiculous movie. It's fun. There are much worse versions of this movie on Prime. There are better versions of this movie that I wish had been nominated. I don't know exactly. I don't remember when some of these movies came out, so the nomination window might not have worked for them. But you know, it's inoffensive. It's fine. Like all John Cena movies, it's inoffensive and fine to. Okay, so like, you know, it's a Prime Video
Inoffensive is
movie.
a good description, even though I couldn't figure out whether I was more offended by John Cena as an actor or John Cena as president.
I mean, not to get political, but weirder things have happened.
That's true. And I kept thinking, like, oh, this movie's kind of icky in some ways, because it's like talking about like a celebrity president and doing it. And I mean, the movie likes him. The movie wants you to like John Cena. And I was just like,
yeah, it reminded me like when the Simpsons movie had Arnold Schwarzenegger as president, but that was satire. This was not satire.
This was like, oh, he's trying his best and he's good at this and he's betrayed by people, you know? I love that what you said about Priyanka Chopra, because actually I think she could have been completely written out of this film. It, like, even the cold open with like her, you know, you think she's dead, spoiler alert for this film. I was kind of, and then she doesn't appear for like another, what, half an hour, maybe 45 minutes. Like,
she maybe has like 20 total minutes of screen time, if
yeah.
that's.
And I was like, why did they shoehorn her in here? And like, you don't really get a lot of backstory. You don't even get flashbacks to what the relationship was like.
Nope.
Yeah, so I was actually thinking they should have just played up straight up buddy comedy between the two and cut her out completely. But I mean,
Kind
was she
of.
badass in it? Yes, like I love her, she's great. But I was also like, I don't know how she fits into this whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, so again, one of the better versions of these Prime Video action comedies that have come out recently is The Bluff, which stars Priyanka Chopra as a former pirate who is protecting her new home from other pirates. And it kind of rules. And if you want to see badass Priyanka Chopra on Prime Video, I actually highly recommend The Bluff. It is way better than it has any right to be. And again, not knowing the Emmy windows super well, I would have nominated this over that
When
over
did
Head of State.
that one come out? Do you know when that one came out? Or is that for
Within the
expectation?
last 5 or 6 months, I
Okay.
believe. I would have guessed it was, I would have at least guessed that it was Emmy eligible this window. But also, if you have a John Cena Idris Elba movie, I can understand why you'd want to really push the big stars. And to this movie's credit, they actually do have a nice little chemistry going.
Two nice chemistry.
Those are two actors who can have chemistry with The Rock. Like they are honestly very charming people. And Priyanka Chopra certainly, I think there's chemistry when all three of them are together as well. But also, yeah, if you erased her character from the movie, I don't know how much would change.
Also, I figured out who the villain was when they kept trying to say it was going to be the woman from, I can't remember her name right now. I think it's Sarah, from Ted Lasso. They kept kind of saying that, oh, like she betrayed him. And I'm like, it's got to be Carla Gugino. Like it was just so obvious to me. One, she's the like third, probably the like actually biggest name from the film. And like, why else would she be there?
Yeah, it's amazing how often casting just spoils the villain twist,
Yes.
because you're like, why would this person take a role this small? And it's like, no, they didn't. They know there's something fun happening for them later. And you know from the second, if a character actor of Carla Gugino's caliber would not take that role if it
Right.
wasn't something at least a little juicy.
Even Jack Quaid showing up was kind of surprising. I think he's also a really big name in it, and like he's very funny in it.
That
And
was by far the best scene in the movie.
yeah, a
Like
lot of
for
people missed that.
there's 15 minutes of that movie where like I was like, so this is what this movie could have been if they had actually leaned into broader comedy even, because Jack Quaid just like went nuts, but like in a really, really fun way. And that's kind of what Jack Quaid does in
Yeah.
things. He brings like kind of a more manic energy. Like he's really good in Novocaine, which is a very silly movie, but I actually think he carried very well as like an action, as like a zany action star. And this movie needed more zaniness, I guess, actually, as I'm speaking of it, because yeah, that Jack Quaid scene is, I would say it's apex. And then the rest of it was just kind of like standard action stuff. But man, if there had been either more Jack Quaid or just more of that Jack Quaid energy, we might have been in better shape.
And he doesn't come back till the end credits, right?
I thought he died. Am I
I
nuts?
thought he died, but I thought that they actually he actually lived, and they reveal that in the credits. I can't remember.
That feels right too.
Yeah.
I mean, in Novocaine, he played a guy who literally couldn't feel pain. So, you know, if this guy could survive getting shot a few times, you know.
Yeah, I think I can't remember, but like since I watched these all in like the same time, but I think
Yeah.
that's what happened because
Well,
I was like,
the fact you can't remember, I think, says a lot too.
yeah, I didn't think he died because the other two survived. Those other two people survived, so I was like, maybe
Right.
he, yeah. So, but anyway, any final thoughts before we move on to the next film?
This is not the worst movie in the best TV movie
I
category.
feel like we're going to argue about that, but we'll get to that. Unless you think People You Meet on Vacation is the worst movie, based on the Emily Henry rom-com book from director Brett Haley. It stars Emily Bader and Tom Blythe in this like When Harry Met Sally-esque film that has some Robin music in it, which I appreciated, but it's about like two people, kind of frenemies, who meet in a When Harry Met Sally way that become friends who go on vacation with each other, like for a
Megan,
year.
you're underselling it. They carbon copied the opening of When
Yes,
Harry Met
yes,
Sally. Like they ported it, like it's borderline plagiarism because it's two people who are like driving back to school or driving from school back home. So it's not 100% the same, but like if there's some plagiarism, it is a plagiarism case, honestly, for the opening of this movie.
I feel like also sometimes I feel like books shouldn't be adapted into like movies because I feel like there was a lot more to this story that we didn't see and that they're cramming in. Like there's a pregnancy scare, there's like all kinds of stuff. I'm like, what, how, like we're kind of just jumping in and out of their lives and it's kind of like this is when you want to kind of spend time more with them. I lost interest halfway through this film, I will say. I was into it in the beginning. Like, okay, I'll take a When Harry Met Sally Diet Coke version, whatever, on Netflix. But
Exactly
this,
what it
I
was
think,
trying to do.
yeah, and Emily Bader is a total standout. I can see why the 13 going on 30 reboot is taking her
She's also
as
about to
their.
play Mia Hamm, if I remember
Yes, she is
correctly. No,
too, yeah, and she looks like her.
she's got something. No,
Yes.
she's there. There's she's also incredibly beautiful. Like if
Yes.
I hope the Netflix machine doesn't swallow her up too fully, but like yeah, Emily Bader is gonna be around, no question
Yeah,
in my mind.
she was like, this film was all about that for me. But I didn't really think they had that much chemistry. And I know you talked about them being, you mentioned that you thought they were terrible human beings. I wanted to hear more about that.
So I never read the book this is based
Have
on,
you?
but I mean, so in the same way you've got Prime Video action comedies, like Netflix rom-coms are definitely their own subgenre at this point. And honestly, I give Netflix credit because nobody else is keeping that genre alive. So you gotta hand it to them a little bit. And yeah, there's some algorithmic rigmarole involved, but like they are cranking them out. So like if, for people who like this stuff, there's pl they're doing a decent job, I would say, of it. This didn't go well. I would I, yeah this I think is of the five, this is at the bottom of my rankings, and
Okay.
I love a good rom-com. Like I don't care how tropey they are, and my God, this is full of every rom-com trope in the books. But I think we discussed this off mic at one point, but I'm getting sick of like the guy is just an emotional dud who the girl just has to open up. And not that Tom Blythe is a bad actor, because he was pretty good as young President Snow in that one Hunger Games movie. Like the dude, when he wants to turn it on, I know can. And he was clearly asked to turn it off for most of this movie. And I don't know, I just. The biggest cardinal sin a rom-com can commit to me is that the two people just should not be together. And this movie did not convince me they should be together. And at the end, when she comes to him and is like, "No, actually, we should do this," I didn't believe it for
I was also, they
a
kind of give you the Ross and Rachel type of ending, the original ending of Friends, where like you don't know. Okay, so like people, let's go back 20 years, some 20 some years when Rachel is, you know, was supposed to go to Paris, but Ross can't leave New York, but somehow they're gonna make it work and they don't explain how they do that. And I feel like this movie does the same thing where she's like, I don't wanna go, I don't wanna stay in Ohio. And he's like, but I wanna stay in Ohio. And then they end up in New York. And I'm like, okay, what was the conversation there? How did he change? We don't see any of that. And I was just kind of, and I
She
also
fixed
not,
him, Megan.
what?
She
He
fixed
fixed
him.
it. But did he fit? Also, I hate that, like, there's always in a rom-com nowadays, there's always one more interesting character than the other. And like, Poppy is definitely more interesting than the other guy. I don't even remember his name.
Oh, yeah, no. You know, if I recall correctly, my hot take on this movie was so, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Tom Blythe's ex. That was Saren Catherine Hook, right? From White Lotus.
Yes.
There's a part of me that thinks this movie might have been better if she and Emily Bader switched roles.
Oh.
Only because I saw Saren Catherine Hook do some pretty nuanced stuff with like kind of a one-note character on White Lotus.
Yeah.
And like I'm not saying Emily Bader was bad at all.
Oh, yeah, she's fantastic.
I want to see that. Because I feel like Sarah might have like maybe mined some emotional depths that I'm not quite sure Emily or the writing of that character totally got to. And again, I think it's the Alex character is a much bigger hurdle for me in this movie. But I don't know, but Sarah Catherine Hook only had a couple scenes, and I was like, oh man, there's like something there I wish this movie had used more of, I guess.
As
One
like a
thing I will
flight
give,
attendant or something? Did she
yeah, she
run
was
into
the
her?
flight attendant,
And
right?
I just didn't see that coming. I was kind of like, when did this happen?
No, you're right. I mean, the one thing I'll give this movie is that I'm gonna assume it was shot on lo largely on location, and it looks great. Like they go to a lot of very pretty places. If the New Orleans stuff isn't actually in New Orleans, it at least looks like it enough. And I thought that's that weird dance they ended up doing that I don't believe for a second that that man would have been able to pull off. I thought that was very sweet and rom-commy. Like, you know, every rom-com needs a karaoke or a dance scene for no apparent reason. It had potential, I'll say that. And I think it's also hurt again, like Heads of State, by there have been better versions of this movie that have come out since. Like, I didn't love Office Romance, but I definitely believe Jennifer Lopez and Brett Goldstein should be together more than these two. And then I thought voicemails for Isabel blew this one out of the water. And that wasn't in the Emmy window, so that's not a conversation. But like, we know that Netflix can do better than this, is kind of where I'm at with it, you know? So
I agree. It's like it's a fun film. I was excited for it to come out, but I don't know if it's like rewatchable. But
totally harmless.
yeah, totally harmless. Yes, with Emily Bader as a huge welcome, you're a star.
No, it really is a. She's gonna be also. She looks a lot like a young Mia Hamm. Like
Does
I'm
she
actually
looks so
excited
much?
for what they do with that biopic. That could
Me
be cool.
too. Yeah. Okay, well now the next one is Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan's Tyler Perry's no Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan Ghost
Lots
War
of
directed,
colons
yeah,
and
lots of colons, directed by Andrew Bernstein. Jack Ryan, played by John Krasinski, gets pulled back into the CIA from his buddy Wendell Pierce. And there's someone from their past who is replicating like a past operation, I think. There was a lot of things that I didn't really understand what was going on, but I'm just like, just go with it. I actually like this more than I thought. And I did
same.
watch the first Jack Ryan series, I believe. And then now they're just making the movies, right? They're just one-off movies, I believe.
I'm gonna be honest. I have never seen an episode of the Jack Ryan series, and I have no idea what the plans for the John Krasinski version of this character are in the future. I just watched the movie because I was like, yeah, it's a Jack Ryan movie on Prime. Like, what? I have 2 hours to kill. Why not? And I'm sure there were some things I missed having not watched the show, but I thought they did a pretty good job of like keeping me a total like novice, like up to date with everything going on. The action, there's some cool action. I would say it was about as good as Heads of State, like, you know, just in terms of what it was trying to do.
I think I liked it better than Heads of State because I don't know. Well, my MVP of this one is Sienna Miller. When she showed up,
Right.
first of all, when they showed like somebody, a girl with a hood, I did not know she was in this.
Neither did I.
So whenever she showed up, I was like, oh my God. And she is just like, I don't know, she adds something to this. The only thing I knew about this, like I remember him, okay, so he's, I didn't realize that Jack Ryan like left the CIA at this point or is like doing just basic field work, no, like not in the field, or I don't know what he's doing.
Analyst stuff, I
Yes, and he
guess.
was dating, I knew Abby Cornish's character, and it seems like they broke up. So I was like catching up there. I'm like, okay, I had no idea. But like I thought he and Sienna Miller had great chemistry. I thought she really elevated this film from like a TV movie to like, oh, this is like, give me more of her. Like I hope if they're gonna do another one, I hope she shows up because I thought she was great.
Yeah, it's always perilous for two people from Pittsburgh to talk about Sienna Miller because of her famous Schitt's comment from like 2 decades ago. But
Yes, which I asked
as an
her about, and
actor,
she says she loves Pittsburgh, and she said she would work back, but work here in a heartbeat again. Actually, she has since. I think she just has done it on the down low. Yeah, I forget to.
I'm glad that she's turned over a new leaf in that regard. She's very funny on a Curb Your Enthusiasm, Mark,
Oh yeah, she
during
was.
its
She
final
was.
season. I think like she's pretty underrated. Like it's nice to see her like out from like the girlfriend or the wife roles, and like she was like the Rebecca Ferguson, you know, in Mission Impossible to John Krasinski in this movie. And yeah, I think she added some life to it. I thought Wendell Pierce also was another way that's
Always
like
good. He's always good.
yeah, this is one of those movies where the actors just totally elevate like very silly action spy movie stuff that only makes, if you think about the plot of this movie for more than like 10 seconds, like it'll totally unravel. But if you just kind of like let yourself go with it, it's also, I will say, I miss John Krasinski as a funny person.
Yeah, I do too. I was thinking about that when I was
Or even as a
watching it.
director, like I don't, John Krasinski action star was a noble endeavor that I'd like to, how do we get him in a rom-com again? Just like that would be wonderful.
And the
But
only rom-com he was really in was that Something Borrowed, where he should have ended up with Jennifer Goodwin. Like, they had more chemistry, but she ends up with the other guy. Or I think they were trying to set him up with Kate Hudson in that movie. But I think that was supposed to be more than one movie, but that bombed so badly that they never did any other ones.
yeah, no, he's yeah, he I mean he's made a nice little career for himself with these streaming movies. He was also in oh my God, The Apple. He was like when he and Natalie Portman were doing Faux Indiana Jones on Apple
Oh
TV.
yeah, but they were brother
Fountain
and
of Youth.
sister. They were in brother and sister in it.
Were they?
Yes, and I thought that was so bizarre. I'm like, you don't put these two good-looking people at, like, and make
That is
them
wild.
brother and sister. It was weird. Now I kind of want to watch that. I
It
forgot
was
that Cloverfield was in this. Yeah,
okay.
okay, maybe I don't want to
You
watch it.
do what you want. It's a Guy Ritchie movie. It's all
Oh,
Guy Ritchie
okay.
movies are kind of the same to me. Oh,
Okay. I don't have much more to say about Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan's Tyler Perry's Ghost War.
that's what
Other
I'm
than, yeah,
saying.
it
We
was fun. I don't know what
three
other than,
movies in a row, totally inoffensive.
yes. Okay, then let's get to Remarkably Bright Creatures, which I feel like we'll have a lot to talk about because, well,
We
I think,
will, and I'm gonna be nice.
okay, well, I think this is the best of the bunch. It's based on the
Okay.
bestselling novel. It's a story of a friendship between an octopus and a cleaning lady, and it stars Sally Field and Lewis Pullman, and Alfred Molina is the voice of the octopus named Marcellus. I had been told about this book for years to read. I have not read the book, but I heard the book is great and that leaves some things out. But I really enjoyed, I cried at this movie. I really liked it. I know you did not like it, but I want to hear, why did you not like the octopus?
So I think I'm wrong about this movie because everybody has yelled at me after I gave my initial take about it. And let me say, I think this is the second best of the bunch. So I think part of what didn't do it for me with this movie is I didn't think the octopus looked very good. Like
Oh, I love the way he looked. He looked so real.
I don't agree with that, but that's okay. He didn't look cartoony, I'll say that. It's not that I didn't believe there was an octopus there. I know octopi are very smart in real life. I don't know. I have a little trouble with the magical realism, I guess. And like what I've come to understand from my friends who have read the book is that I think in book form, this probably worked a lot better. Where you had to like picture it yourself, but then this movie asked me to look at this octopus and treat him like a real character, and believe that he sounded like Alfred Molina. And Alfred Molina, by the way, very solid voice performance.
I
Nothing
love his voice performance.
wrong with that. I also just happened to have seen the movie Not Without My Daughter recently, which starred Sally Field and Alfred Molina, and Alfred Molina was playing an Iranian man. Who basically trapped Sally Field in Iran and wouldn't let her and her daughter leave. It's one of the most racist movies I've ever seen. So putting those two together again on screen might have colored my view a little bit. It's pretty schmaltzy, like in my opinion. Again, it means really well. It has a nice hopeful message about family and. Well, I guess not just found family. Spoiler alert: some literal found family happening in this movie, but community building and yeah, there's nothing wrong with this movie. I just had trouble with the octopus.
I will say that I didn't. I wanted to see this. By the way, I can't remember if I mentioned Olivia Newman directed this. And
Good director.
Yes, and I didn't want to watch this movie because I knew it was going to be sad, and I was worried how, like, oh, is it going to be like the sad old lady? But she's not like a sad old lady. She's cool
No.
Sally Field, and like I love that, she gets a romance in this. And yes, there is that twist that I didn't really see coming, which I should have seen coming, but like I think because I just, sometimes you're just trying to stay. I'm always somebody who just stays in the moment of these films.
I do my best with that too.
Yeah.
I will say that I'm very bad at guessing twists for movies, but I did kind of see this one coming.
Well, I
And
kind of was like, I hope they don't make it like that, but then I was okay with it because it's like, is it a little like everything's tied up in a bow? Sure. But I don't mind it because I already suspended my disbelief that there was a, that she had this relationship with the octopus, which I do love movies with animals that like, because I do think animals are so special and I love their relationship so much. And I love the fact that she felt like she couldn't talk to anybody but this octopus, and that, oh, you just worried about him when he would get out of the water, and like just the fact it's just very emotional. It was very emotional, and I really
that's
liked,
fair.
yeah, I thought Lewis Pullman was great. I love the location, this like quirky location in
Yeah.
Washington. And I love movies where you don't see, like, of course, like in People We Meet on Vacation, of course she lives in New York. Of course, Ohio is where she doesn't want to go. I love this little spot that's like, oh, Washington. We don't see this kind of Washington State in movies, and I really love that. But yeah, this is my, I think this is the best of the bunch, in my opinion. And I think it's the one to beat because it's got the, I think it's the only one with the acting nomination for Sally Field. And
Correct.
yeah, so I think that's probably why I would pick it. Also, I mean, I just really like this one. And
Well, I'll talk
it's
about
got a
more later why
costume nomination too, I believe, too.
I think that's right. I'll talk about more later why I think it's wild that this is the only one with an acting nomination.
Okay,
But
so I feel like that's leading into the next one.
yeah, but let me just very quickly also say that, like, I think what elevates this movie a little bit too is I really like that scene at the end. I believe she's over at one of Sally Field's characters over at one of her friend's houses looking for something. And that friend kind of reads Sally Field the Riot Act, because the whole movie I
Yes.
had kind of felt like obviously she's gone through something and she has to snap out of it. And her friend is kind of like, you've been so concerned with trying to like ease everyone else's burdens and trying to like not be a nuisance, I think is almost what she said, that you've just been a bad friend. And I had kind of agreed with that the entire time. I was like, she doesn't seem particularly nice to anyone in her life. And I mean, Lewis Pullman's kind of pulling her back to the surface, but I was happy that one of her friends, who she was treating kind of, I didn't think she was treating her friends very well. They're all kind of like basic older woman, for lack of a better term. And they were kind of being played for laughs, but also they're like, no, we're also people too in this story, and we kind of wish you would treat us better. So I think having that kind of elevated like the story for me. And I also just want to say that I'm pretty sure Sally Field will be in jail for what she does at the end of this movie. So that took me out of it a little bit
Maybe,
too. But still the
maybe.
second best movie on this list.
Yeah, but maybe she wouldn't. Maybe they're gonna turn the other head. I think that was Kathy Baker, who her friend who played, I think her pl friend, it was Kathy Baker. I think it was that actress who yells. And I was surprised by that too, because I actually didn't think, I guess I thought that she was kind of disconnected from that group and they were kind of pushing her to do stuff. But I also wish there was some resolution of like, well, what happens? She ends up moving. Do they stay friends? Does Sally apologize? Does I forget what her name or character name is in this. It's a different name. I'll find it later. But does Sally's care, like, does she like apologize? And does she like, I don't know. It felt like there was some loose ends there, but yeah, I like that too. It was kind of like you're suffering, you're doing this to yourself in some ways. We're reaching out to you. And yeah. Okay, well then, speaking of suffering, no, and I say that lovingly, Miss You, Love You
Rude.
is the fine. Well, I'm saying that as the characters
I'm
are
kidding.
suffering,
I'm
not
kidding.
us. Yes. Because I do like
Absolutely.
this one. This You Love You, directed by Jim Rash, of Community fame. I love him. And it stars Allison Janney and Andrew Rannells. This is the one that's most fresh in my mind. I think I finished this last week. And it's about a woman who's grieving the loss of her husband and her son. It's his stepdad. He doesn't show up for the like helping her through this in the funeral. He sends his assistant, played by Andrew Rannells. Which Andrew Rannells is so good. Allison Janney is so good. I'm surprised neither one of them got a nomination. I'm sure
That's
that's what you were
what I was
thinking.
alluding to. Yep.
Yes.
I think it's wild that neither of them got nominated.
Yes, this was almost like a play, I felt like, which I complimentary. But yeah, go ahead. You seem to love this one the most.
Oh yeah, no, this is my favorite by far. And I will say, there's nothing even vaguely cinematic about this movie. Like, I'll fully admit that. Like, you're not going to this movie for like directorial flourishes or big. Yeah, I was about to say big set pieces, but you could argue that there's big moments in this movie. It's also worth mentioning this is the only HBO Max movie on
Yeah.
this list, and when HBO does TV movies, you kind of have to listen. I would say more so than the Netflix and Prime videos. Not to say that there aren't gems in their catalogs, but I would say HBO has a higher hit rate, success rate with these movies. And yeah, this one, I didn't really know much about it going in other than I like those two people and I figure it's going to be a sad story of growth. And I mean, this is another movie where like a younger man, like, an older woman find like a close, an unexpected close connection and help each other
But
through a
no
tough time.
octopus. No octopus.
And the lack of an octopus probably helped me with this
Dead
movie because,
cat.
yeah, there's a lot of talk about that. Oh, and the plant. There in that dying
Yes.
plant.
Yes, the plant.
I don't know. Like I like a good play. And sometimes, I feel like most of the time when people say this movie felt like a play, it's an insult. And that just means I think it's like very talky and not very dynamic. This one I felt like you said, felt like a play complimentary where it's very talky. I thought it was pretty dynamic for a movie like this, like honestly, just because those two are so good. And I mean, you could feel their relationship evolving in real time and they were understanding each other more and helping understand. You never see the son and the guy who Andrew Reynolds is assisting in the movie, but I feel like you know him really, really well through these two characters, which is a bold stroke. It's also pretty funny. They have an annoying neighbor who they get into some very silly shenanigans with that I was amused by. It's also nice to see, like, we all know Allison Janney can do this, but I don't think Andrew Rannells is often given the opportunity to do that stuff like this outside musical theater. And I like that he just got to act his ass off in this
Yeah,
movie. So yeah, I don't know. This felt like the most human movie of the bunch to me, I guess.
his character's so sad. I almost feel like she, by the end of it, is like kind of wishes that he was her son, and he wishes. I mean, like you're right.
He's the
He
most down bad, like, of any character of any of these five movies. Like he was the most down bad for that for his boss.
And I just hurt for him. Like, I really hurt for him. But I think they both are trying to reach a person, which is so funny that they're both trying to reach a person that is not, doesn't even appear in this film. And I think that in some ways I love that aspect, but I'm also like, I wish we would have one scene or something where we meet him or like, or he shows up
Maybe.
or something. But that's also like, that is the coolest thing about it is that he doesn't show up. But I found the ending very like bittersweet, and
Yeah.
because I think he's I think he's moved on from his boss, and like he's forever changed from it, and she's forever changed, kind of like I'm never gonna have that relationship with my son. And yeah, I thought I was left sad at the end, like but
Sad
not,
but hopeful.
I don't even know if I felt hopeful. I felt
Okay.
like, yeah, I mean, I guess like maybe they're changed. Maybe they're changed for the better. I just felt more sad that they're still having to process the grief of losing that person, I guess, in some ways. She's losing her son, he's losing this idea of love, and that made me really sad.
No, that's extremely fair. I guess this is also this is conversations about helping me work through why I enjoyed this more than Remarkably Bright Creatures. The octopus of it all aside, I kind of found that movie to be pretty saccharine. Like, of course he ended up being the grandson she never knew. Like, I don't know. It's very nice, like I said. It's very Netflix, if I'm being honest. Like, it's nothing wrong with it. Just this, the ending of this movie just felt way more real to me. And I will
Yes.
say, I think we can probably both agree that the writing in Miss You Love You is like by far the best of any of them. Like, you can tell, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, Jim Rash is like an Oscar-nominated screenwriter too.
Yeah, I mean,
So, like,
I think it's different types of writing though, I guess. Like, I think that
correct, correct.
Remarkably Bright Creatures, it's not setting out to be something realistic. It's it is sending out to be like a fairy tale. So of course, like, things do get tied up in a bow, but you've kind of got to go with that vibe because that's the vibe of the film. I mean,
Right.
spoiler alert, she's throwing the octopus back into the like ocean.
Yeah,
Like,
that's the illegal thing she did that why she
yes.
probably should be in jail.
Right. So like there are things in that happen that you just kind of have to go with. Whereas this is more a realistic look at relationships. But I think
Agreed.
it's like comparing apples to oranges, but I
No,
like the movie. Yeah.
you're totally right, and we're only comparing them because they're in the same category. But
Right.
yeah, no, just Miss You, Love You, I was like, this movie could have been really boring, but I just felt like the writing was really solid and those two actors really elevated things. Again, like, this is one of those movies where you just point the camera at them and let them cook,
Yeah.
and it didn't need more than that. And I don't know. I don't always respond to movies like that, but I just responded to this one, and it's one of those times where I was like, I would not go to a movie theater to see this, but I was really glad that I could just go on my HBO Max app and like boot this thing up. Like, some movies like feel like they're, it's weird because this movie like probably doesn't feel like a streaming movie, but this is one of those movies where I'm like, this would not have played in a theater, and I'm glad it's here, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. Which goes to show that there's some value in TV movies. TV movies are, I know people, TV movies get like the bad rap, but like they are sometimes, places that you can watch this that where this wouldn't be in a theater. Remarkably Bright Creatures, I think it should be in theaters. I think some of these films should be in theaters, but they're,
Agreed.
yeah. So okay, where would you rank how do you rank these films?
So, are you talking about quality or in terms of what I think will win?
You can do both. Do quality first, then in terms
Okay.
of who went.
All right. If I had to rank all of these, I think Miss You, Love You is my favorite. Remarkably Bright Creatures, the octopus and all, I'd have a number two. Jack Ryan and Heads of State are more or less the same movie to me, so put them at a tie at three. And then, man, people being on vacation, I just think it could have been so much better. Like, there was the bones of something way more fun in that movie, and I just don't think they found it. So
Yeah.
unfortunately, that ends up on the bottom of my qualitative list.
And then, in terms of winning, what do you think will win?
I think you're absolutely right that Remarkably Bright Creatures is probably the favorite. I guess I'd still probably put Miss You, Love You at number two, just because the HBO Max machine will probably at least be working overtime to give it a push. And then the other three, I think, are just happy to be there.
I think Remarkably Bright Creatures, I think, will win. I think Miss You, Love You could surprise. I think maybe Jack Ryan is after that, then maybe People You Meet on Vacation, and then Heads of State. And I think that's probably the
Probably.
order of the way I like things too. It's probably the same too. But yeah, this was fun though, because I never really get to watch the movies, and I was like trying to take the time more to like it was fun watching them. Like, they're each different, and it's a little bit different. It's so funny how people are like, oh, I'd rather watch a TV show than a movie. But like, the TV shows are like, you have to really is a commitment. And this is just like in 2 hours, an hour and a half sometimes, and it's not that bad of a commitment, and it was fun.
Yeah, and especially like in the streaming age where like we get like, I don't know, probably what 30 to 50 like Hollywood quality streaming movies a year, like and I guess the only thing that really separates them from theatrical movies is that they don't even get like the cursory like we're going to be in a theater, one theater in New York, one theater in LA to qualify for the Oscars, which is what the Avatar: The Last Airbender movie just did. And really made me angry for that. For Paramount, that was rude. But yeah, I mean, a lot of these movies could end up in theaters. Like, I was going through the previous winners in this category. Like Rebel Ridge, I believe, won last year, and that movie could have easily been in a movie theater. That movie rules. It's the reason Aaron Pierre is a star now. And
That's
like,
right.
again, I think the only reason thing that separated it from being an Oscar contender was that they never put it in the theater. In the year before, I had Quiz Lady, the Awkwafina and Sandra Oh movie. That movie was really funny. Like, I don't know. I think that could have like Gail Daughtry and the Celebrity Sex Pass is part of in theaters. Quiz Lady is in that lane to me. It could have been in a theater too. So it's just interesting to me, I guess, what like the streamers like now think is worthy of even like doing that little theatrical run for Oscar contention, and what they're like, maybe we could get an Emmy for this movie instead.
Like,
So the strategy is interesting to me.
I do feel like the movies now that are TV movies or movies that would come out like 20 years ago that would just be like mid-budget like films that like find have a niche audience, and like now the only things that come out in theaters, it has to be big, it has to be Marvel, it has to be IP or have big names. And so I welcome TV movie as a category. I think
No, I
it's a
agree.
fantastic.
I mean, pour one out for like Lifetime, who probably used to dominate this category. And then the streamers were like, well, we can actually just get big stars and still just put them on our platform and they count just the same. And Lifetime's like, well, people still watch our stuff. We don't need the Emmys.
That's true. Okay, anything else to say before we wrap up?
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens here. I also, oh, my last point I did want to make was I don't understand why, I don't quite understand why all of these actors clearly weren't really in competition for the acting awards in like the limited or movie categories. I mean, good for Sally Field. Like, that was a good performance. I'm glad she's there. I mean, it seems like Beef is probably going to like rampage all over the limited categories,
Maybe
but like,
I'm not sure, because that I feel like it'll be interesting to see, because I'm not sure that people love it the way they love the first one. I do think
I did not love it the way I loved the first one.
I didn't love the first one, so I didn't even watch the second one. So yeah,
Fair.
I haven't watched it, but
I don't know, like this isn't one of those years, I guess, where like I feel like actually Netflix has had the limited series cornered for a while, because I believe the last 2 years were Baby Reindeer and Adolescence winning everything. So this year, it's like, this is actually one of those years where I could have seen some of the movies, like the actors, or even like in the, excuse me, the below the line categories sneaking in more. And I'm a little surprised that in a relatively weaker year for limited series, there wasn't more of that, I guess. But otherwise, yeah, interesting group. I think Rebel Ridge probably would have beaten all of them, but that's okay. It's what we got this year.
Oh, great. So, I was going to say, we could flash forward. Or is there anything you're looking for? We always do a flash forward. Was there anything you're looking forward to this week that you're excited about?
Looking forward to this week. Well, in about a half hour, I'm about to go see Spider-Man: Brand New Day. So I've been looking forward to that for quite a while. I guess I can give people a little recommendation at this point, because I happen to have seen the entirety of, there's a new Star Wars show coming out, I believe on August 5th. It's from the Star Wars Visions team, which they usually do like the differently animated shorts. This one's called The Ninth Jedi, and it's a full Star Wars anime series, and it is really, really cool. Like, you Star Wars has been ruined has not ruining. Star Wars has been screwing up Jedis in live action for a long time, and this is Jedis in animation, and it's incredible. And I believe, like I said, I think that's coming out on August 5th on Disney Plus. I want more people to check that out because I really, really enjoyed what I saw. And yeah, otherwise,
That's
I'm also
great.
enjoying the fact that I work in a movie theater.
Yeah,
And
I don't.
it's summer and there's lots of good stuff out.
I am looking forward to. I still want to see, I want to see One Night Only. I was trying to. I'm
Oh,
like really.
Sam.
Yeah, I feel like it could be the sci-fi rom-com of the summer that I need, and so I'm really excited about that.
I was gonna say, Megan, if you need someone to see that with, just let me know. I'm totally down.
And then TV wise, I'm still like, there's some things I'm catching up on. I'm trying to think of, I'm always trying to like stay on top of all the interviews and stuff that we're doing right now. I guess mostly though, One Night Only. I'm in One Night Only mode right now, but
Reasonable. Well, it's funny
yeah.
too, because last year I feel like that version of that movie was Eternity, and that was Callum Turner again. So
Yes, you're right. Yes, that's true.
I
Yeah,
really liked Eternity.
I didn't see it, but I read about it because I wanted to know what happened in it. So I just read the like, I just read the synopsis, and I was like,
Yeah,
I
it's
got
like if
it.
they made The Good Place into a movie, more
And
or
I hate
less.
The
And
Good Place, so
I was gonna did you just say you liked or didn't like The
I
Good
hate it.
Place?
I hate The Good Place.
Oh boy. Okay, so never mind. Don't watch Eternity. You're not allowed to watch Eternity. One Night Only looks like it'll be more your speed then, because everyone's alive.
Okay.
Ostensibly.
Well, great. So let's get the hell out of here. I'm Megan McLaughlin. I've been joined by Josh Axelrod. Thank you for being our special guest, and subscribe to us on the YouTube and follow us on all the socials, and we will see you next time. Bye.